Where are all my friends?
Yep.
Mikey Ueda. Dude, we did it.
We made it. We're here.
I am so happy because I think about this. We've been talking about doing this for a couple months.
Yeah, easy.
And like we've had valid reasons why we've had to move it.
Yeah.
Before, I used to let that, like, it used to stress me out. I was like, oh, it was supposed to be this day and I was planning it. And lately, I've really embraced, like, this is exactly when it was supposed to be. For like, sure. Whatever it was in the universe, today was the day we were supposed to do it.
Yeah, no, I feel you on that. I mean, it's like, it was either me or you that were like, okay, no matter what, if we're rescheduling, upon rescheduling, we need the new
we
day.
We had to lock a new day. New date, it had to be done.
But I think we were on the same page. Like, when you do something like this, you just want to be in the right zone and... I'm so appreciative of you understanding that where there's like a couple times we could have done it and I would have been like, you know, I was straightforward with you. I'm like, dude, I'm already thinking about way too many things to where like, I know I can pull it off and I know we can do it, but it's like, I've shared with you. I'm like, this is important to me. This is something that like I care about and, you know, I hold what we're doing, your craft and like our friendship so high that I'm like, you know, all right, next week. All right, next week. And we made it.
It's funny because I feel the same way. Like I take this so seriously in the sense of like, it's not like the main thing I make money off of or anything like that, but it's more just like such an honor to me to have friends on and to learn stories. Like, dude, we've become such good friends.
For sure.
And I'm going to learn stuff about you in this format that I've never known.
Yeah.
So it's like, if the vibe isn't right, there's absolutely no point to do it. I know that you came from such a freaking rad beginning. Mm-hmm. And as we tell your story, it's like everybody understands. It's like, oh, that's why he sees it that way. And I think that holds more weight.
Definitely.
Like, I think like the precursor story to being like, I know you're rad right now. I know the conversations we have are inspiring, but it's like, I want everyone to understand just why it's so special because you started like, it's cliche to be like started from the bottom, but like you earned it. Like you put in the time. Where I like to start is like, I'll normally be like, for anybody who doesn't know who you are and what you do.
Yeah.
And I think that's a fun way to say it because makes you like, be like, oh shit, what do I do?
Yeah.
And then going back to the early days.
For sure. That question of like who I am and what I do is, it's funny because like right now I feel like I'm in such a change and like transpiring like of just like this motion of just being so many different things that I've always wanted and worked for and I truly enjoy. So it's cool. Like, I mean, obviously on paper right now, I build and design motorcycles and I own a brand called Bleach that I do that under. But like I said, I'm in this evolution period of, and I'm loving every bit of it. Like, you know, one day I'm signing up to do this and the next day I'm doing this. And then one day I'm building motorcycles and next day I'm designing clothes or production manager. I don't know. Like it's this really fun thing. And then, you know, riding bikes for brands or, you know, we just did a shoe video and stuff like that. So I feel like I'm like dipping into all these different categories and, you know, it comes from the background of what I built on. But I think it's all together things that I've always loved and enjoyed. And now I get to really just like, I'm almost in this area where like, I'm going to pick and choose like what I want to do here soon. Like, for the next few years.
The thing that I love the most about talking about that and talking to you right now is when I first met you, my version of seeing you from the outside looking in, my first thing would be like, yeah, but why? Like you have it good, like Bleach is sick. Like why?
Yeah.
Like why think bigger? Why do any of that?
Mm-hmm.
And as we've continued to talk, it's like the most necessary evolution and it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's like such a lesson to me to like always push forward and not so much care about like one specific win or any type of status, but to like do the shit that fulfills you.
Yeah.
And I think you set such a good example of that.
Yeah, thank you.
And I love the way that you look at everything from an educated eye, yet you always have a sense of like childlike wonder. And you look at things where it's like, I'll get so in the weeds. It's like, we have this party to throw and I'll be like, all right, so it's a party. It needs to be this specific thing, this specific day, whatever. And you're like, what if it was a year long and it was this, this, and this? And I'm like, I'll stop. And I'll be like, fuck, that's actually sick. So it's like, you have this beautiful way of like always looking at things from the outside, looking in.
Yeah.
And I think that that's been really special. That's something that I definitely want to talk about. But this moment and where we are right now, I think is a really rad time to be talking.
Definitely. Yeah.
Like the current moment, it's like we're sitting at race service in Current. And yeah. that's a win in itself. Like the For bike sure. behind us is a bike that you built mm-hmm. with Dr. Wu with Livewire.
Yeah.
That in itself was an evolution.
Yeah.
Like that a year ago, you were building a totally different style bike, mm-hmm. hadn't really done the deal with Livewire.
Yeah.
This space did not look like this. Mm-mm. And a huge amount of that was kind of this beginning of an evolution, right?
For sure.
So it's like even this room that we're sitting in, Current.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to be like, Mikey made Current, right? Because it was, I mean, dude, it's the relationship effort. Of race service yeah, and everything. It's, like it's not team. That, but it's like this bike, like that was a vision that was brought to life, right? If you yeah. can see it in frame, like that clothing, that's conceptual clothing you made.
For sure.
And it's like just that alone is yeah. an evolution.
Definitely.
Yet now that feels like so long ago. Like it's yeah. like so much has happened even since then where I'm like, fuck.
For sure. No, I feel that. And I love that you say that because it's like sometimes we don't take a second to just look around and realize like, you know, I'm driving here on a Saturday to do a podcast with you in a room I dreamed of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a year ago, like this was, I don't even think this was an idea. And then, you know, so like, I'm so thankful and grateful for John and Mike and everyone on the Livewire team that, and everyone on RS especially, like
yeah.
really have Jacob and James, like have nurtured me like their children, you know, and brought me in like one of you guys. And, to sit here, like, yeah, and look around, like, the clothes I got to do with Wu, like, was someone that we got paired up together and didn't know each other previous to this. And now I can call him a dear friend and
right.
look back at, like, wow, we created that together and be proud of it. But, yeah, this was an evolution of, like, a new stepping in and being, like, the face of Current
yep.
was, like, I'm not just building bikes behind the scene and...
No.
releasing content on Instagram or YouTube or anything like that. It was like, hey, you need to be in front of the camera. I needed to be that personality.
Yeah.
And that's where I developed that, you know, one of my good friends, Jeff Lifter, he told me, he's like, that Current space is what's going to take you from Bleach being a brand and Mikey being a brand. So make the best of it. I hope I did. And I hope I am. But, you know, once this really kicked in, I felt that terms of like, hey, they both are important. I am my brand,
yeah.
but there's more to it than just motorcycles.
It's not like you made a brand that was like, oh yeah, cool, like fun. Everybody made a brand. Like you made a fucking successful brand. Like you've built bikes for Justin Bieber, mm-hmm. Nyjah, Ty Dolla $ign. Like Bleach as it sits could be a 10-year long business plus
yeah,
doing what sure. it does.
Yeah.
And it'd be a huge win.
Yeah.
To take the time to differentiate that, to take the time to evolve and to take like, what this represents, like, I feel like this room is really symbolic for the beginning of a shift.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, there's a lot to that.
Definitely.
And there's a lot to like pushing discomfort in a good way and growing, even when you might have just had it objectively. But I yeah. want to know about like young you, where you grew up, how you found like yeah. your thing.
Yeah. I mean, like, how I found what I'm currently doing is a product of what I've been about since I can remember,
yeah.
you know, and that's
so
a product.
It's early.
Yeah. I mean, early days of me being a kid, the things that I remember are two wheels and four wheels. That's it. From Hot Wheels to toy dirt bikes to actual dirt bikes. That's a product of my dad being an influence and like forever will be an influence in everything I do. So my dad had a shop on Venice. Like I had a residency at Deus on Venice. I have a Current space and a family here at RS on Venice.
Venice.
So it's you know, and we even lived and slept there, you
yeah.
know, at points in our life when I was younger. So Venice Boulevard, I remember the day being in my dad's shop and leaving. And what's funny is I was five. So like, you know, we very like remember very small parts of that. But my dad had he had an upholstery business. So he had this Toyota like stake bed truck and it was like a flat bed with all the stakes on the side. And I loved driving in that thing. It was a bench seat and it had stick shift. And I remember I'd shift here and then or sit on his lap as a young kid.
Yeah, and steer and shit.
Yeah, I don't know why I still remember like I can play the video back of like getting in the truck behind the gate and we're going somewhere. I had no clue what we were doing. I remember like it was probably like a few weeks before my dad would come home with like something new for me. And it was first like a pair of moto pants and then it was a helmet. But I was still so young to even like, I don't even think I really cared or was like, whoa, this is so cool. I probably just looked at it and was like, Okay.
Cool.
Like, I don't remember, like, asking for that. And I don't think I ever really did. I remember that day vividly, and we got in the car. I remember falling asleep because we drove to Thousand Oaks, which, like, at 5 years old, like, it's 45 minutes from here. That's eternity.
Eternity away, yeah.
So I remember falling asleep, and then I remember waking up on this corner. And what's funny is we lived in Venice till I was 10,
mm-hmm.
and then we moved to Thousand Oaks. So, like, 5 years later, like, that's where I ended up living, you know, my whole teenage life, or from 10 to when I moved out when I was 18. But yeah, so that trip, I woke up and we were at Thousand Oaks Kawasaki KTM, which we were there to get my first bike.
No way.
So it was a surprise. How old are you? You know, I was five.
Five.
So
early.
So we got my first bike. And then, you know, my dad grew up here in LA. Living in LA, there's no tracks or, like, anything like that. So I learned how to ride a dirt bike on the railroad tracks.
No way.
Like, yeah, that was, like, my first day. Like, I think I had pants, like, a helmet and gloves. And, you know, my dad, he grew up here in LA as well, like, his whole life. And he rode motocross. So that's, like, how it was, like, you know, I want my son to ride.
Wow.
But
it goes back that early. Like, it really was, like, that was... Because sometimes I do the podcast, and I love both answers. I love both stories. But sometimes people don't find their thing until they're in their early 20s or whatever, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't think I found my thing either until
Fuck,
then.
Yeah.
But it's
okay.
Just funny that I think that's the beauty in it, is that it was always there. The thing was there. I just didn't know what to do with it.
Funny.
You know, because, like, when you get a dirt bike and you ride dirt bikes, like, what do? Like, turn pro or try to be the best, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's no, you know, or either you categorize it as something for fun.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, did I ever think I'd be doing what I do now? Like, I've been doing it for 4 years, 5 years ago. No.
Wow.
Maybe four and a
it's
quarter.
It's only no. that. It's been that. It's that's all?
Yeah. Four. I think it's just like breaking four. Yeah. And, like, the first year was, like, I still had another job. Like, it was for fun. It was very much
Holy
a joke.
Holy shit.
Like, just, I loved it.
So this evolution of the Mikey that I know, of, like, Bleach becoming successful and then even evolving past that, has happened relatively recently in the large scope
of definitely.
Your whole life and career.
Definitely. I mean,
Holy
once
shit.
We get into, like, 2019, 2020, I've been very blessed with everything I've got to do up until, like, having my own brand. Yeah, I learned how to ride on the railroad tracks.
Mm-hmm.
Very much, like, it's funny because now, speaking on it, like, my brand, I love dirt bikes in cities and urban things. So it's like, I think maybe, like, at, like, 10, I probably would have found that as an insecurity. Whoa. You know, whereas, like, all my peers were like, oh, I grew up riding at Glen Helen, or
right.
I learned how to ride
out on
at,
the
like,
dirt and
the
tracks.
Sickest track or whatever. And I'm like, yo, I'm like the ghetto city kid that learned on the railroad tracks, like, didn't have a jersey, you know, like, didn't have boots. I remember that was one thing. I didn't have, like, moto boots. Like, I wore, like, who knows what I don't know. Like, I lost my mom. Like, I didn't have moto boots. I didn't have, like, the chest protector, like, everyone, or, you know, I had a helmet and, like, the bare minimum.
Yeah, like, helmet, gloves, jacket, something like that.
T-shirt, you know? But, yeah, so my first bike was
Your dad is such a G.
Yeah, it was a KTM. At first, I was, like, super nervous, and I don't really remember, like, learning how to ride it. I just remember riding it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I had this love for motocross, and I loved everything about it. I loved the bikes. I used to even, like, clean my bike and stuff like that. But when it came down to, like, riding or even racing, I, like, wanted to do it because that's what I thought you had to do. But, like, was my heart in it, or did I even feel like I really tried? Like, no.
Interesting.
And there was always fear. Like, I was always so fearful. At an early age, I knew it wasn't, like, I wasn't going to be a pro rider or anything. I never wanted that.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to be around it.
Mm.
So that's what's so funny is, like, now I get to still be, or even, you know, as I keep going, you'll see that how I got to be around it. But it just, like, it was just looked different for me.
Yeah.
You know? Like, and that's what's cool is, so, I mean, I rode, like, you know, 80s. And I remember telling my dad, like, we used to go ride LACR all the time. You know, we would ride, like, at that point I was 12 or 13. And
LACR?
Yeah, it was in Palmdale. So it was like a racetrack. That's like where my dad always liked to take us.
Okay. So, like, eventually, like, even though you learned out in the city and all that, like, you would get out to tracks.
Oh, yeah. Okay. We started riding tracks, like I learned how to ride, like, basic stuff, like, in the, you know,
cool,
on the railroad
tracks. And then you were out. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, probably a few months after that, we would go to like Piru, which is like 45 minutes away.
Mm-hmm.
It was called Lemon Grove at the time.
Mm.
And I would go ride there and spin laps. Yeah, I wasn't like super focused or serious on it, but I loved it. You know, like it's all I talk about. Like it's all I cared about.
You have siblings too. Were they into it as well? Or like, where do you fall in the age group of siblings?
Yeah, so I have a brother, Ethan. He's 5 years younger than me. Yeah, so around 10, we moved to Thousand Oaks. And we got this super cool house. Like it was in this neighborhood, Camelot. And we had, you know, even for LA, like we were 45 minutes north of LA for this house. It was in Santa Rosa Valley. And we had an acre of property. And like, that's like huge for anyone.
Insane.
So like, it was cool. Really cool house. Yard wasn't developed yet. It was brand new. So my dad, being my dad, you know, built us a track.
I love him so much.
Yeah. And so he built a track. So my dad always describes, like, when people ask, like, what's Michael and Ethan like? Like, what's, or Mikey, what's the difference, you know? At that time, like, so I would get home from school and ride, you know, till it was dark. Like, yeah. My mom would have to pull me off my bike. I'd just do laps and laps. My brother would pull out on his PW, do one lap, park it. That's it. One lap, park it, and then he'd start digging.
Okay.
You know, he would just dig holes. Yeah,
and like fuck around.
Yeah,
and like,
he was crazy yeah. little kid. My mom would like hide chicken bones, so he'd find dinosaur bones. He was like, yeah, he was 5. I was 10 at the time.
Yeah. Okay, so it was, yeah, like you, there was definitely a love for it. Like you,
for sure, yeah.
And then does it just continue like throughout, like from 10 into teenage years and all of that? Like, is that like the focus outside of school? It's just riding?
Yeah, so like 10, that was my neighbor. That was like the first time I had like neighbors. Like I'm at that age to where like my neighbor across the street, like you can start being influenced by other people.
Yeah.
It was my friend Dane and Mark. I still see them here and there. And Mark was older. Mark was probably 15 or 16. Dane was probably 13 or so. And, you know, they liked like Metallica. They played the drums. They rode skateboards. They went to public school, you know?
Yeah.
Like they were cool, you know? And I was younger, but they would hang out with me because we would ride BMX bikes or skateboards in front of the house like every day. And my house was that. My dad built us a kicker in the front and we would ride from the backyard and see who could like jump the farthest into the street. My dad would measure us all out. And so like they were older and they were good, but like that was where I found out like I was like way better at BMX than anything. But yeah, so that's where I like started learning about other things, like skateboarding came into play. Mm-hmm. I started playing the drums at like 11 or something like that. I would do drum lessons. Yeah, because Mark did it, you know? And I was like, Mark's sick. Mark's got a kit.
Yeah.
Like, I need a drum kit, you know? And that's where I like got influenced by music. And that was the first time I like listened to music that wasn't like my mom playing Mariah Carey.
Radio music or whatever.
For
the fuck.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, Nirvana's sick, you know, like Offspring.
Yeah.
I was like, these are cool.
Yeah.
And that was cool about that time period is like, I would wake up every morning and MTV and watch music videos. Remember?
Wow,
like
yeah.
that would be like while I was getting ready for school.
So that's like you finding your like your interests. Like this is a very formative time of your life.
I was like, learning like who I was, mm-hmm. you know, like motocross, like I loved. Mm-hmm. But it was so influenced by like my dad. Not mm-hmm. that he made me do it. It was just like I felt like I didn't like know what the world had to offer.
Yeah.
So like meeting my neighbors was like, oh, what's music? Like what's these drums? Like I remember like skateboarding. What's CCS magazine?
Oh,
like
my God.
They had them. And I was like, you know, they had the shorties backpack and carry the board on the back. I was like, all right, there's like this whole world I don't know about. Motocross is cool, but like I didn't really have like moto friends, you know, like, so it was just like me very much being in my pocket of like what I liked.
Yeah. So I'm curious and like, I don't want to fast forward it too much, I know very, very early on you worked with like dirt bike teams and all that.
Yeah.
So in my head, as you're explaining that, I'm like, what is the gap? How did you get there?
So like I said, BMX was like a strong suit. So around 13 or 14, like riding 85s, I was racing a little bit, like it wasn't good, you know, like, but I loved it. It was cool. I raced a beginner class, 85 beginner, you know, it was fun. My dad would take me and he's always the type where like, if we do it right.
Yeah.
You know, so like, don't go out there just to like, say you raced, like go try to race, you know? And when we go to the track, like I remember one time him telling me we didn't come here to hang out, you know, like do this and let's go home. But it's Wednesday night. He had to go to work the next day and we're an hour out. But as a little kid, I'm like, all right, this isn't fun. You know, I wanted to hang out. I wanted to be around the bikes and just hang out. Like I didn't need to ride them almost at that point. So I told him I didn't want to do that anymore. And You know, there's like that fear inside of like, all right, like we spent time doing this and I thought he would care and he didn't. He was cool with it. And I came home one day and my bikes were gone and I was like, okay, he really, we were serious. And then like, it was like 2 weeks later, I got home from school. He bought me like a play bike, like a 110. And he's like, hey, like, so you can still go have fun with your friends. Like, cause my friends would ride around the neighborhood and we had jumps. So it was like, still like, that's like what kept it in. But then I was like full BMX. I loved BMX and I was good at that. So
would you ride parks or street or what would you do?
Street and parks. Yeah. So like, then it was skate park every day. And then that's like, when you start going to the skate park and like, mixing in with that, you start to like figure out who you are, like as an individual. But yeah, what filled that gap was BMX. I loved it and I progressed all the time. And that's how I met like one of my friends. His name's Cole. And Cole was the moto kid that was really, really good, you know, but he rode BMX too. So that's, that's a love we shared was riding BMX. You know, we were attached to the hip like when we met as young kids and, we BMX together and he would ride. I'd sometimes go to the track with him and just hang out. But like BMX was the thing that we shared together. So like I would ride with my friend when he was riding moto, I would ride with my BMX friends and then he'd dabble, you know, come hang out. And he rode good too, because that transferred over for him. We ended up going to the same like independent study at the end of high school. We were like, all right, let's go to community college. Like that was kind of normal for us. Obviously like being best friends, we're like signed up for the same classes and it was sad because like you could see so much talent, but there just wasn't opportunity.
No shit. So like you saw that in him. You're like, dude, you're good. Like you're better.
Everyone knew that, but they're just like, when there's no opportunity and there's no one to pay and no one to give you a chance and like no one to give you like that, like be able to ride every day, like it's not going to happen.
Yeah. And is it like, I mean, like, cause I could kind of feel it. Like I ended up more in skateboarding than BMX, but I think internally, like you can tell, even if you're good, there's the kid that's like great. There's always the one kid in the group that could go pro and everyone knows it.
Yeah, that's how our friend group was. We all knew like Cole should do that.
Yeah.
You know, but we accepted. I remember like one of our friends being like, we all need to accept that's not happening for
no him. Way.
Yeah, because we were 17 or so at the time.
Yeah.
And he got his first job, started working for like a graphics company, just like fully accepted that that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
I remember still the day, like we were sitting in class at college and he's like, you know, this team's like thinking about giving me an offer to like try to do this. He started like riding freestyle a little bit. You know, he's like, I think I'm going to try it. And then had to move to like Temecula area. And I remember bummed. I'm like, I lost my friend, you know, but like do it.
But yeah. Like you're like, dude, this is such a chance.
We were taking a
like,
graphic design class together.
That's crazy.
I remember he's like, you know, if I ever figure it out, like come with me. Like
let's
do it. And I'm like, yeah. Like I believed in him. But at the same time, it's like, you know, we're 17 and it's like, it's not all going to work out. Like we really want it to work out. Like I'd love for it to. And you know, we've talked about it since we're 15, like, you know, manage me or do this, like, you know, work with me if I ever make it. And I'm like, yeah, I'm there. And so I remember him saying that and I was like, yeah, whatever. He went and raced for the Suzuki team. And I still remember like going to the first Supercross he raced at Anaheim. And I don't even think he made the main. So it was like, all right, like you're good, but you're not good enough. So like went to race for Troy Lee. Troy Lee gave him an offer, but like it was like bare. Like I don't think he was making money and you had to bring your own bikes. Like it just wasn't so far from attractive.
But Troy Lee, because I don't know that world as well.
Yeah.
Troy Lee is like very well respected, right?
Very.
Okay.
Very
so it's
much.
Like rough offer, but great team.
Team that was building and like underdog team,
okay.
But had the resources. Like the resources were starting to come. Like Red Bull came on. Honda was like supporting it. Like it was almost a factory team, but it wasn't quite yet. It was that underdog team.
Yeah.
And that's who he always was. So he went and did that, and then had success that first year. And they were like, "All right, we want to sign you and like make some money." And you know, we always kept close during this. Like it was best friend. So. He had to move away and I'd go visit him down there. That was the first time I went to Marietta. We, you know, one of my dearest friends now, like the LaPaglias, he lived with them and they had a track at their house.
Oh shit.
So then he became that kid that like had the resources around him. You know, it was one day like, hey, I think I can pay you to like come work with me.
No
like,
way.
Do you want to try it?
What were you doing then?
I was just in college. Like it was, I mean, this is like fast forward, like this is all quick.
Wow.
Like this is like 8 months or so after probably he left that that class.
So yeah, you're just like kind of figuring your shit out in college, like not married to anything.
No, just like, all right, like I want to do graphic design because I like design. Like I learned how to use Illustrator and Photoshop at like 14. I torrented it on my computer. Like that was what I did instead of video games. He was like, I think I could figure it out. Like, come help me. Like at that time, like a lot of the pro racers, they had like, they call him almost like a man friend, like a girlfriend that was
no
a man.
Way.
That, like that's just your best friend that rides along and helps out. Like I would do anything and everything, you know. It was cool. It was fun. But yeah, he asked me and I remember I was like, I don't know. And I don't know if I said no or just wasn't the right time. And then he asked me again, maybe like 2 months later. And I think I was like leaving school, but at that time, like I was so over like the college thing. Like, I was like, you know, I had my own car at the time. Like I'd skip classes and I wasn't that into it. And I remember telling my mom like, hey, should I go do this thing with him? And my mom's like, you can always go back to school. Like,
dude, shouts like, to your parents. Holy
yeah,
fuck.
Yeah, they were cool about it, you know? And I didn't have a job. I didn't make money. So like school was how my parents like gave me like enough to like have gas and eat food. Like I didn't have cool, you know, I didn't have a bunch of stuff. I was like, I think I might do it. And they were like, try it. Why not? You know, it was always like something that even Cole knew it. Like it was something that I wasn't going to do forever, mm-hmm. but like we all knew like that was my stepping stone into what was next.
Yeah.
And like, it was cool for him to understand that too.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like, oh, like there was never the, like, I built you, like you come do this. Like,
yeah.
It was just like, hey, like I could use your help. Do it and then figure out what's next. It wasn't
holy
like
shit.
Ride this out for years
yeah,
and years.
Yeah, that's fucking cool. He just like brought you with him.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So it was like that true story.
Damn.
Early ages. Yeah.
And like your role, like at a pretty young age, you end up managing.
I basically just helped him with everything. Like anything from like, I went to the track with him every day and filmed actually. Like we used to film and record like all his laps so then we can watch him at home and dissect and learn from that. Anything from like shopping groceries at the house, like but what was fun is like we were the same age, so we did it all together, you
yeah,
know.
It's like not, I didn't, it was like PA
Mikey, where's his groceries? It was like, yo, should we go to the store? Like, and then like he bought his first house, like had to go do all that paperwork with him. I remember I surprised him with the keys to it and like
damn.
Got him early and I was like, yo, like let's go. And that was such a fun period of life. Like at that time it seemed like we were so grown up.
Uh-huh.
But we weren't.
He's going pro.
Yeah.
You're there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is it life-changing for you too? Or did you have to figure out your own hustle?
I always explain it as like the door was opened.
Uh-huh.
But I always tell people like, I can open the door for you, but like, what are you going to do to stay in the building?
Wow.
You know? And that's the biggest thing where it falls on you. Like, I can talk you up all I want, but if you aren't who you need to be when you're given the chance.
Yeah.
You're not going to stay there very long,
yeah.
You know, and that's all attitude, that's drive, that's everything. Just that discipline of like when I was going to do something and I cared about it, like, you know, when I don't care about something because you'll see what it looks like, mm-hmm. you know, like my dad says that all the time. He's like, I know you're over it. Like, I'm not. And it's like, yeah, you are. Like, it's not perfect or it doesn't try to be perfect. And, you know, that is a good thing and it's a bad thing, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was. For me, it was life-changing. Yeah, of course. Life-changing because, you know, the money I was making at that time, like, I wasn't going to be making at that age right then unless I was, like, some sort of, like, if athlete or something like that. But opportunity. Like, I was so rich in opportunity.
And you knew that?
Oh, yeah.
Sick.
I already knew what I wanted when I got what I wanted. What I wanted next,
uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, the second I was like, I want that,
mm-hmm.
by the time I was there, I knew what I wanted after that.
Sick. Wow, and so the vision was always very clear. Like you always had your goals set.
Yeah. And I say that is because like the next thing that I fumbled on, like anyone who was doing that was at least 15 years older than me. So I was like, ooh, that's not gonna come for a long time. But I'm gonna prove to myself that when I'm there, I can do that. And you know, being blessed, like it came way earlier than it was supposed to.
Yeah.
But I was ready, you know, and everything I've done in my life adds up to who I am today. Everything this is going to add up to who I am tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I take every single day as like, I'm good with it, whether it felt bad that day or whether it felt really good.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's making me who I am.
Yeah. That's so crazy. That's so sick. Because that's like, that's a part of your life that I didn't fully know. Like that, like for the podcast, like learning that now, I'm like,
yeah,
damn. Because I think it's so easy for people to assume that everybody's just had it like that forever.
No.
That it's just like, oh yeah, like must be nice to like know all these people and be able to build these bikes, whatever. But it's like, had you not taken that risk, had you not stepped up to the plate with that opportunity, had you not realized that the door opened and done everything to stay in that room, you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't have what you've built.
No. And I remember like day one going through the paddock at the racetrack. I didn't know everyone.
Yeah.
Like I was Cole's friend, you know, like, and that's cool. Like I knew that, but I was like, at the same time, like the only way to change that is like what makes Mikey Mikey. Mm. So I needed to be me.
Mm.
And at the same time, like, I knew what my assignment was. Every time I accepted something that was, you know, a change or whatever it was, like, I just always tried to remind myself what the assignment was. Like, yeah, maybe I wanted to be this person already, but I was assigned to this task.
So don't let, like, ego, don't, like, let that vision of what you want to be. Yeah, cool, you know that.
For sure.
But get what your assignment is done. But I think the fact that you knew to, like, do the assignment and do that job and not be above it, and that you knew that you were in the trailer with these people that could change your life, or learning how to treat the people like from the top to the bottom, I think is huge. And that's interesting. Like, did that fall around that era that you learned that as well?
So that's almost I learned after.
No
and,
shit.
And I think a lot of like the ego or anything of that didn't come because like I think I'm so hard on myself. And like, yeah, I think where it came from was like I never felt like I belonged in a sense. So like my way of that was like in my work, I had to like show that. So like I didn't look the part, like, and it's not a race thing or anything like that, but like the sport is predominantly a white sport. And, you know, like I didn't necessarily look like every kid that rode. I didn't look like all that. And so then you transfer that with like insecurities inside yourself. And the biggest thing that we all are victim of is comparison, you know? And I think that's where like I knew that I was different.
Yeah.
But at that time, I let my different be an insecurity.
Oh.
And when I did, I knew the only way that I could always be secure was in my assignment.
Oh,
so
shit.
I knew like if I was already like not starting out here, like level with everyone, the second I'm here and then walk up and they go, yo, you forgot to, like, as simple as, you know, I used to wash boots at one point. Like, yo, those aren't clean. Like, I didn't go from here to here. I went from here to here.
Oh, shit.
So I didn't have anything to lose.
Oh, my God.
So I always felt like I had to make sure that I couldn't fall short the slightest bit.
Wow.
Because that was going to be the opportunity gone. It's, or that was going to be a hard time for me.
It's crazy to hear you explain all of this, because now I think the fundamental shift is any being different is absolutely not an insecurity anymore. You embrace the fuck out of it, and it's what's made you who you are.
For sure.
But I love that you share those times.
Yeah. Any slip up could be in any other area, but it was never going to be in my work.
Yeah. Is there a moment where you go from working with just Cole to other riders? Or like, what's that look like?
The guy who managed all the Troy Lee riders, he broke his leg. He was the athlete manager for Troy Lee across pro, amateur, all that. You know, that's the job I wanted. That was the exact one I wanted. And he got hurt during the summer. And they called me like two rounds in and we want you to fill this for the summer. You won't work in the office during the weeks. We'll just fly you out every race. You take care of everything. So that summer was like my initiation of like, I know I don't have a spot here, but like nothing is, everything's going to be perfect.
Yeah.
Everything is going to be perfect.
Yeah.
And I worked hard that summer, worked really, really hard.
Yeah.
And I wanted it. And that's what led into that. You know, at the end, like, hey, we don't have a spot, but thank you for a great summer.
That happened?
Yeah.
Oh, because you worked hard and still didn't get a spot?
No.
Oh, what the fuck?
Because that it was his job. He was just hurt. I was just filling in. So it was like, thank you. You were amazing. If we had an open spot, there would be no question about it. And I was like, yeah, I get it. I understand. And that was it.
Damn.
And then so I went, that's where the Alpine Stars thing came about. And I went and had an interview with them. Bill Keefe, which is Troy's like brother-in-law who runs most of Troy Lee at the time. He called me and was like, hey, Jeff, who was the guy who had the spot that I wanted, left and took a job at Alpine Stars.
Stop it.
Yeah. Crazy.
So the job you would have had to settle for is the job that he took.
He took a higher role than that.
Uh-huh.
But he opened up my spot. And he took the higher role and then like filled that for a little while. I think he had to do it for a few months until he found someone.
Yeah.
But he went over there and left that spot open.
No way.
And they're like, can you move on Monday? And I was like, I don't have any money. And like, you're like, yes. Like, of course. Yeah, it's a Friday, you know, a couple days before Christmas. And I'm like, yes, I can do all that. And I remember calling my mom like on the golf course. And I was like, I took the job. And she was crying. She was bummed because she thought I was doing the Alpine Star thing. I was like, I got the Troy Lee one. And she was like screaming, like so stoked. Because like, that's what I called out that I wanted.
Yeah.
You know? And, but yeah, so I took that. And that was like, I don't know. I was probably 24.
Yeah.
So that's where I went from like one rider to like 17 or something.
No way.
And then that was like led into like apparel for American Honda, apparel for like Showa Suspension, KYB, KTM Junior Challenge, like being the face of, being the mediator of Troy Lee and all these corporations. And then having a team.
Okay, wow. And that's a decent amount of time.
Yeah.
So that's like formative professional career, surrounded by greatness, surrounded by people at the top of their game.
For sure.
Learning from legends.
Yeah, we had a cool cool crew of just like people in that circle that supported each other. You know,
yeah.
It was like Roger and my friend Mikey Rangel, and we all had kind of similar roles, but for different brands and different riders.
Bleach kind of feels like out of left field to me.
It was out of left field for me.
Like what?
100%.
Like,
yeah.
Bro, like you did it. Like you figured it out. How did this happen?
I mean, it was just like the wanting more, you know? Like it's always like you're in your spot, but like what's next?
Mm-hmm.
And I've always been that way. And
yeah.
Sometimes you really just need to like sit down and look around you and be thankful, like, because my biggest thing is like, you know, every day I feel like I'm walking in things I prayed for months and months before, or years before.
Yeah.
And like sometimes you need to stop and like be in those moments, you
uh-huh,
know?
Uh-huh.
And it's hard to. Yeah, I was content. I loved it. I had fun. Uh-huh. And but the traveling was gnarly. Like uh-huh. I still miss like being at the races, like going to like some this year. Like I go to the ones here in LA or in California. But yeah, Bleach was definitely like super far out of left field. It wasn't like,
because from what I remember of you telling me, wasn't it like a homie came to you and was like, build me a bike?
Andrew Jackson, a good friend of mine, like was working for an online retailer at the time, like one of the biggest in our sport in motocross. He's like, hey, they have like a marketing director position. And that's like where I wanted to go. I wanted to go into marketing. Well, I said, okay, I'll take an interview.
Mm-hmm.
Send over the job description. They send over the job description the night before the interview. I'm not even kidding you. I read down this thing. I'm Googling what these words mean. I'm like, dude, what? Like, I was like, I'm none of this. You start to like think like
imposter syndrome hard.
Yeah. And I'm like, whoa, like I'm not a marketing director.
Whoa.
But I felt like I had marketing director in me.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I
yeah.
didn't have the language maybe,
yeah,
the or fucking, like
the formal
training. And that's where insecurity is built in. And that's what makes me like so happy to be who I am now. Like, I'm glad I don't have that formal training.
Yeah.
When 10 years ago, 5 years ago, I would, that's where I found an insecurity. And that's like my biggest security now.
Yeah.
So I remember I called them. I sent an email that night and I was like, hey guys, I got another job. Thanks for the interview. I can't make it tomorrow. I lied because I was like, bro, I'm not going to go drive 2 hours to do this.
To like embarrass yourself.
No way. And be like, oh, so like, do you do SEO and this one?
Yeah.
SEO, like, who is that?
Yeah.
You know? Like,
wait, so what did they say?
So they were like, oh man, so glad to hear you got the job. Got a new job. Thanks for considering us. Take care. You know, they were really cool. And Andrew calls me like 2 days later, like, yo, like, where'd you get a job? And I was like, bro, like, I didn't, like, I just don't know anything on that paper. Like, that is foreign language to me. He's like, they were super bummed. They wanted you. And I was like, yeah, but like, you can't want me for what I can't do or don't understand. And he's like, yeah, I get it. And I don't know what it was. He just like super homie move, like went in there. And I think he told them like I lied. And they were like, no way. Like, we know what he's capable of. Like, tell him to please come in. Now I'm in OC still, like,
yeah,
but in like Rancho Mission Viejo, like San Juan area. So their office is where I grew up in Thousand Oaks.
No way.
So it's from there. That's cool. 2 hour
fucking
drive.
Far.
Yeah, it's deep.
Far.
So I'm like, first of all, like, I'm going to roll in like, yo, if I do this, I'm working remote. And this is pre-COVID. Yeah. Like to work remote is like, you're on another level. Like you figured something out.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, well, first of all, they're never going to buy that because I don't even know what I'm doing. So I went in there and they were the coolest group of people and they honored and knew that I was valuable to them. And instead of like trying to like make me into what this sheet was, they empowered me to like and asked me like, what would you do to make us better in a marketing aspect? So they told me in that meeting, they're like, tell us what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I told them what I wanted to do. And they asked how much I needed to make. And I told them I needed to come in one day a week and I would work remote. And they were like, awesome. And signed off on it. And I went from this job of being gone too much to like being rewarded with like being home every single day.
Oh my God.
And I mean, I still worked super hard for them. It wasn't like I sat back and was like, I get to work from home. Like if I lived in the area, I would have gone in every day. But like realistically, I wasn't moving back up there. I just bought this house.
Yeah.
And that's what allowed this to happen. Because in that unfolded the building, the first bike
of
and being
Bleach.
Home. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Hey, real quick, I wanted to take a break to let you know that if you're enjoying this episode or the podcast as a whole, there is a ton of behind the scenes content and extra content, including an extended cut of this episode on the Where Are All My Friends Patreon. And you can go to it and access all of it at patreon.com/whereareallmyfriends. All right, that's it. Back to it.
Wow, that's so crazy that those lights just turned on like this and everything is still totally normal. I definitely didn't readjust and go pee and turn lights on.
I'm glad to pick this up a few days later. We got distracted and ended up going to dinner.
I appreciate you wearing the same clothes though. That was really nice of you.
They're dirty, but we're good.
Yeah, no, I needed that. Thank you. Wow, yeah. So you take this job, you kind of lay out your dream title or your dream scenario of coming in only one day, you get your house, you're learning to be home, and you're working at a brand where you have access to a lot of cool things.
Yeah.
You're still in the industry. And then the first Bleach bike is born.
Yeah. So it was, you know, now I had like freedom. I could like hang out with friends again. And like, you know, after I was done working with the team, you know, over the computer doing what I needed to do that day, like I could go like meet up with my friends. So that, you know, I started hanging out with Nyjah again. Nyjah lived down the street. Yeah. And Nyjah had bikes. You know, he had a bike that like a famous like race team built for him. Like they built him a bike that he had for a couple of years and it was like on its way out. You know, it had been pretty used and he's like, hey, I want this new bike. He's like, can you get me a bike? I'm like, yeah. So I'm like, okay, we'll go back to like Pro Circuit. He's a Monster kid. So like Monster sponsors this team called Pro Circuit. So basically if you like aren't a Monster skateboarder, or like an athlete, you get a Kawasaki.
Sick.
So I'm like, okay, we'll get you a Kawasaki and then we'll go to Mitch's and Mitch will make it all cool. He's like, no, like I want this KTM. And it was a dual sport bike. But dual sport bikes were always like complete different bikes. Like if you take it to like car world, it's like race bikes were like M3s or, you know, M4s, like M cars. And then dual sport bikes were like hybrid. Like they were just so far off. Like,
yeah, you're just like, why did you,
it's just like,
what bike did you,
they were never comparable. Like, okay, you have this full race car and then this just like normal, like not even luxury, whatever. But at that time they like leveled up these dual sport bikes and they're pretty close, but I didn't really know that. So now she's like, I want this KTM street bike. And I'm like, absolutely not. Like, no, like there's no way. And he's like, no, like, let's do it. Like, please, like, can you get me one? And then going back to like our things of like all the things we do add up to who you need to be at the end of the day. Our team, when I worked for the race team, we switched to KTMs. So our autograph signings used to be out of this place called Three Brothers KTM in Orange County.
No way.
Which is still where I get my bikes till this
day. Is that the spot we visited together?
Yeah, you came with me, I think, one
way.
Day. Yeah, so I met a guy there, Eduardo, that when I would bring the athletes there, he runs the store. So that was our relationship. He knew me from the race team and I knew him because he ran the store that we would have the signing at. So I was like, okay, I know this dude. Like, I'm going to call him and be like, yo, we need to get a bike for Nyjah. And that was that connection that made that easy.
That's crazy.
We teed up that bike and I still didn't get it. I still didn't understand why he wanted it, but I understood it was like kind of close.
Yeah.
And then he was like, all right, like, can you build it? Can you make it cool? And I was like, I mean, we can take it somewhere or something.
Yeah,
I didn't build bikes.
Yeah.
He's like, no, like you can do it. And then me being me thinking, I was like, I have this job as a marketing director right now for an online retailer that sells gear and parts. Like, how about this? So I came up with the concept of like, Nyjah, the brand I work for will support you and give you all the parts and everything for free if you tag us. And, you know, so it was like a value that like was great. You know, like Nyjah doesn't do that for cheap. So it was like, okay, I'm going to trade you all this out, homie move, you know, and basically flip that over and makes me look great.
But also as a homie, you would dial it in and make sure that it was like up to spec for like a race team. Like,
Yeah. Then I like started going in on it and it was just at my house down the street. We brought the bike over there and like I would just take pictures as I took it apart.
No like, way.
I would just take photos. Like even like my friends that like didn't work on bikes would help me. Like my buddy Elliot Jackson, I remember the first time putting triple clamps on. I was like, have you ever done this when you were younger? And he's like, I think I saw my dad. I was like, yeah, I think too. Like I was like, but we'll figure it out, you know, and it just went that way. And it was taking photos and just trying it and building that one for Nyjah was like this like learning period of like, okay, like I can do this, but I had that or I had that security. I knew if I really messed up, I'd just take it to KTM
and be like,
hey guys, like I'd pull it straight into like a place that no one, you know, like the public can't walk into. And I'd be like, guys, I made a really bad mistake. Help me. But I always knew I had that in my back pocket and all of them would have supported me. They knew. They would have laughed. They'd have been like, we expected this.
Yeah, that's,
you know?
That's great, Mikey. Mikey.
Okay, we expected. I learned on that one, like really learned, but still all I'm thinking is I'm building this bike for my marketing director role.
Yeah.
That makes me look good.
Yeah.
We built that first one and it was like, Nyjah loved it. Like Nyjah had Aventador. He had all these things at the time. And that's all he cared about was this bike.
Wow.
And I was like, man, like he really loves this thing. Like, why? Like he's had dirt bikes. Why does he love this thing? And I started to see like the way he wanted to use it. And it, and like, I use the analogy of like a Ford Raptor is like, why does the Raptor exist? This like fully off-road capable vehicle that let's all like be honest, 90% of them live in the street, live in LA,
it's a city truck that is very capable, overly capable,
and a lot of them are modified and they're like, we need better shocks. It's like, why? It's still in the street. And that was what was Nyjah wanted was like, and I saw that, I was like, whoa, he wants this urban thing to ride around the street. Anyone could go buy a Ducati or go buy a sport bike or whatever and pull up. And if you really like bikes, you're going to think it's cool. But if I show up on a dirt bike, you're going to be like, how'd you get that here?
The way that a Raptor is like, this is supposed to be an off-road trophy truck.
Yeah, it feels rebellious.
Yeah,
and I saw that and I was like, whoa. And I was like, all right, it's the thing. Like one night we went out and he rode his bike and we were going to Hyde to a nightclub. And he rode his bike and he parked his bike out front, got out, helmet on, hung out for a bit. Everyone got in the Uber to the after party and he rode wheelies on the way there. And I was like, I see it. Like, you know, like, and I will never hide that story because like Nyjah was such a big influence to me to like see the vision of where I wanted this brand to go.
Yeah.
And amongst that period of getting it, it was like our other homie Eddie was like, hey, I want one too, who was hanging out with him all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, can you do one? And I was like, I guess. And so, like, I did it for a favor. Like, I didn't make money on these ones. Like, I just did it. Like, I maybe charged him a tiny bit just because, like, for the parts and, like, whatever, you know? But I started to see that and feel that. And I was like, okay, this is what my version of building bikes look like. And then I got one. And I was like, okay, I'm going to get myself one. And then I built that low one. But that was, I like the way that one looks. But there's a part of me in there that was trying to be like what I thought a bike builder needed to be.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that bike looks different than all mine. And it I've does. Never built
another
one.
It looks
one.
Like a flat track
I've only
bike.
Built one like that. No one's ever ordered one like that.
Yeah, I like that one, but I get it.
It's
I get
dope,
what you're saying.
But we like it because it's familiar.
Right. Oh, wow, right. And where the other ones were like different.
Yeah, so that bike was like, okay, this is going to make me feel like a bike builder. Like to me, a bike builder was like a dude that like can weld and like cut up frames and like change geometry. Like I found an insecurity in that. And I was like, I'm not this. So I built that one. And I was like, that's gonna make me that. You know, I felt like I was still building dirt bikes. Like it wasn't like enough. So I made that one. I'm like, this one's different. And I submitted it to this website that was like, it's like Bike EXIF or something, which is like, you know, like the hype beast of like motorcycles.
Funny.
I sent it to them. I'm like, perfect. They emailed me back and they were like, hey, we don't, this doesn't fit a criteria of like a custom bike to us. And I was like, boom, like shot down. I was like, yep, I'm not in what I need to be doing. I was like, this isn't my path.
Wow. And I didn't realize that bike was so representative of you realizing to like stand against the grain.
Yeah. And I was hurt by it. I was like, okay, like I'm not a bike builder. Like I was right. Mm. You know, like I built two cool bikes and like this third one's cool, but like I'm not in that category. This isn't ever going to be anything. And
yeah,
I was very negative. I think that's where I was just kind of like, eh, whatever, you uh-huh. know, and didn't really care because I had my job. I was cool. I was stoked doing what I was doing, marketing stuff. And then I think the fourth one was another one for Nyjah.
Uh-huh.
And I made that one and I took it a little more seriously. And that was like the one where we first did like a full black motor. And like, I'd only seen like Josh Hansen's bike do that. And like, I hadn't really done anything that extravagant. We did all like titanium bolts. Like this was like the one.
Mm.
That's when I was like, okay, like I want to do this even though I'm not that bike builder guy, but yeah. I still want to do this. Like it's kind of working, you know? Yeah. So I like made an Instagram at that time. Like,
okay.
I always took the photography very seriously.
Yeah.
My boy Ridge came in to shoot all my stuff and like that was like, I started an Instagram. It had a name. I remember making or building the second bike for Nyjah and it was the last night of working on it. And I was so bummed. I was like, man, like this is probably the end, you know, like because it wasn't like a business, you know,
yeah, I didn't have
anyone lined up or anything like that. And it was literally and this is like such a pattern for me is like when I finish things, new comes. And it was the last night I was building something. And I remember I was like, I was literally sad, like a little emotional about it. And I walked inside to go to the bathroom. I grabbed my phone or something. I'd done like a bike show. I thought that was one thing too, like where I was still fighting, trying to be like who I thought I had to be because of like what the world tells you.
Yeah.
And I took that low bike to a bike show. I did like the one moto show. They like pick you in and I was the last alternate. I wasn't even chosen in.
Yeah.
And I remember I was like, I went and like, I was like, I gotta go to a bike show and show my bike off. You know, like that's what they do. That's what the builders do. And then he won an award and stuff like that. But I felt convicted in those things. Like I didn't like it. I thought it was corny and it was lame.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, that's what I gotta do to be who I wanna be. That was on a Sunday. And then the Monday was when I was finishing up Nyjah's bike. I went inside and I grabbed my phone. My Instagram had just blown up. And I was like, what? And it was like very small at the time. I was like, what? Like bunch of followers, like all this stuff. And I was like, dang, they probably posted my bike from the bike show. I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
I made it.
Yeah. Right?
I was like, I made it. And I'm like scrolling through trying to find the photo. And then I scroll through and it says, Justin Bieber started following you. And I'm like, what? And like click on it. I'm like, oh, it's really him. Like, that's funny. And then I'm like, oh, I guess that's how the world works. And then, you know, there's a DM and he's like, hey, I love what you do. Like, I want a bike. So like we started talking like that. And, you know, in that is where like you have to start taking things more seriously, like insurance. Like, you know, like, OK, this is either a real thing or it's not.
Wow.
You know, and so every bike made me take it more seriously.
Yeah.
So like when you say like, was it ever planned? Like, no, it was never planned.
No.
Every finished project leveled it up.
But the door was opening and you were justifying your place in the building.
Yeah.
Like instead of being like, oh, this is probably just a hobby and taking it less seriously, you're like titanium bolts, black out the motor. Like you were going further.
And I learned that from the race team. But the thing is like, even those guys like kind of hated on it. They're like, black bikes weren't cool.
Yeah, right.
Like, your bikes are black. What are you doing? Like I got some hate for it.
And were you comfortable with going against the grain at this point? Or was it still awkward and like weird for you?
I had no option.
Yeah.
So I just owned it.
Yeah.
Like I was like, this is like what we have to do. And I probably wouldn't have made the bike black, but like Nyjah wanted it black. And then that's where I go. Like I love designing from the perspective of not knowing too much.
Right.
Is that's the biggest thing for me is like when I design now, I try to like with bikes, like I remove myself from that. I don't do bike shows. I don't do those things. Because the less I know enough about the construction, and I'm not saying that in a cocky way or anything like that, but I know enough about parts and like what I want to use that when I go to design or design paint or anything like that or graphics, like I don't want to know anything about bikes. I want to design from like a clothing designer's perspective. It's the fancy car with the dice on the mirror.
Uh-huh.
That's like what what I'm about.
Yes. And you do that so well.
But I mean, like, I try.
That's important. Like right there, like that is an important thing to talk about, because it's very, that lesson, the way you've applied that is so valuable. And I think it's so much of what I see in your design language. Mm-hmm. But hearing you explain where that came from, and even the fact that Nyjah pushed you and he was like, it's got to be all black. And like from your inside baseball perspective, you're like, no, don't do that. Nobody does that. Nobody likes it.
Yeah.
And had you not had a friend like that and trusted him, you would have done the safe thing or the thing that everybody else does.
For sure.
So for you, like, to learn that there and then be aware of that is really important.
Yeah. I mean, I learned that. And like, even working with Justin, like when we were designing his graphics, like, at one point, we were like putting pizzas on the side of the bike, like these Drew House pizzas and teddy bears and stuff. And I'm just like, I was with it. I already knew the assignment then. But I was like, whoa, people are going to be scared. Like, there's smiley face, there's happy, you know, it's like, but I was like, yes, this is it. But the thing is, where I like also understood it was like, I want it to feel that way, but I want a bike builder to walk up like a traditional guy and go like, whoa, this looks crazy and it's not for me. But I can't really hate on the fact of like, it's a race motor.
Yes.
Those are race brakes. I can't get those brakes.
Yes.
But how did he get them?
Uh-huh.
And that's what comes from my background. Like, it's all my bikes, like, take them apart, please. Like, they're not graphics and like designed by like some LA kid.
Yeah, it's
like,
a real foundation. Proper dialed race bike.
Exactly. Okay.
Justin Bieber is somebody that I have heard of and a lot of people have probably heard of.
Yeah.
Was there a moment of imposter syndrome? Was there a moment of like, oh shit, like I have to step up? I don't know. The reason I'm asking this is like, I think the more you can treat people like people, the more important it is.
Yeah.
But I could also see somebody all of a sudden taking themselves way too seriously because it's a name that's so big.
Nah, I didn't feel that. I just felt excitement around it.
Ah.
It was an honor at the same time. Like, wow, like, you know, someone of popularity like that, like, really appreciates what you do and sees it in an artistic way. And getting to work with him on it, like, I learned a lot about him as a person. And not knowing his music and stuff that well, like, obviously I knew who he was but didn't follow like the whole train. I liked that I didn't know too much background stuff, because like, getting to know that person, I'm like, man, he's awesome. He's an amazing person. Like, it's really cool.
That's cool that it wouldn't have happened as an accident. You know, it's like the bike you built for Nyjah, however he found it, it's like, it was good. You know, had it been a fluke, he wouldn't have done that. Right.
For sure.
So it's like your work justified it.
Yeah.
But it's cool that you rose to the occasion. It's cool that you guys vibe together like that. Like, it's a really beautiful part of the story.
Yeah.
You've built a bike now, couple bikes for Nyjah.
Yeah.
Bike for Justin. All of a sudden, it's like, okay, I guess I got to take this seriously.
Yeah.
Were you ready for that? Were you ready to be like, all right, I'll do my own business? Like, yeah.
Yeah, I was. I was. Like, I felt like I was in my pocket. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, okay, this is like, you can do this. It was like never one thing where it was just like on and off switch. It just like rolled out. And like, I was just in a really good spot in life and I was having fun. And I mean, I still am. Like, every single day, like, it's pulled creativity out of me every single day. Like, you know, lately I've really just been trying to hold on to like the thoughts of like, man, this is cool. Like, I'm so thankful. Like, I get to do this. And like, I mean, look at now building for corporate brands and, you know, the collaborations I've got to do and the people I've got to meet along the way, like, are, I mean, even Livewire, like, empowering me to build a conceptual line. Like, apparel is something I've wanted to do my whole life.
Yep.
And never have I really been in the right time and place to, like, activate.
Yeah.
And that was so much of, like, RS and John and everyone just being like, Mikey, do you?
The time that I met you, it was definitely not ever cocky. But you just, like, you do have a confidence to yourself. It's like the way you get there, like, you hold yourself to a really high standard and it's like you force yourself to rise to occasions over and over and over again. Yeah. And I think that, like, the lesson that I keep learning in your story that inspires me is that, like, the door has been open, but every time you've justified your spot in that building. Like, every time you found your way in and you found a reason to stay there.
Yeah.
So it's like every time you know, you made the best bike for Nyjah. Then you made a great bike for Justin. Mm. Then more and more people saw that because they were stoked on the product. Yeah. And then you level up the website and you level up the Instagram.
Yeah.
And it's like, I could paint 1,000 different pictures of a homie that just made another homie a bike and that was it. But that's not what you did.
Yeah.
And then I think about all the lessons and the way that the conversations that you and I have had where you've inspired me, where it's like, I need to do that better, where it's like these doors are open and it's like, that's on you after that. And like, that's where you're like, oh, cool. So they gave you this chance. What are you going to do this, this, and this and build this, this, and this? And I'm like,
yeah.
Oh shit.
No, I mean, I think you're being hard on yourself. I think you have so much of that in you, and you know, even the things that you're walking into right now, it's so fun. Like seeing, I mean, everyone we're around, like I feel like we're all doing that, and like, seeing, you know, you in specific, like we were having these conversations a little earlier before this about like the bag and like symbolisms of things that like maybe material items, but they speak, you know, and I think I'm such a believer in like you speak into like where you're going and even physical doing things like before you get there. Like my dad taught me that, you know, he always has told me like, you know, be ready, don't get ready.
Oh, I love that.
And that's like, he's always told me that, like, because the time when you feel like you need to get ready, it's too late. You know, it's always too late. And that doesn't mean like it won't work out, but like, why not be ready? You know, and I'm not good at that. I try to be good at that. And
I don't know. I think you're good at that.
I mean, I don't.
It's so interesting because I have seen this first person firsthand, and I've seen this evolution. So it's like, since the Justin bike, you've done a bike for Ty Dolla $ign, you've done a bike for a couple dope actors, you've done a couple private bikes, every one of them. How many are you up to now?
I don't know. There's like, a lot I don't post as well. Like,
whoa. Oh, crazy. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, like it's a business. Like you've done quite a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, shoot, a bleach bike is in a Chainsmokers video.
Yeah, that was cool. We got to give a bike away. That was huge. That was like a very monumental point in like what I do right now. I'm like, whoa, like I'm building this bike, like, and someone's gonna get it for free. Like, it felt like we figured something out. You know?
Yeah, like it was just worthy cool, like, enough that somebody would want to get that for free.
Yeah, it was cool to change it up.
Our dear friend Louis Elliott has ridden your bikes in ad campaigns.
Oh my gosh.
Popping wheelies, doing a bunch of hood rat shit.
Yeah, that's my favorite thing about the brand, is just like the people and like the relationships I've got to like have along the way.
Andrew Jackson.
Yeah, Andrew I've known since those 13
and doing stuff with him.
Yeah, he was the when I made my first like capsule of apparel and did a pop-up shop. Like I ran all these things on my own and like had a little team of just like friends that always supported. And you know, like Andrew was the first one that like rode my bike and modeled, if you want to call it that. And you know, I remember vividly being 15 years old sitting in his kitchen with his mom. His mom is such a dreamer, but an executor. She's a powerhouse.
Yeah.
And she always believed in us kids. Like I remember sitting there like, you know, little kid, like I want to have a clothing brand or I want to do this. And like, you know, she would have always supported us, but she's like, bring me back a business plan. You know, she wasn't like, here's like a couple $100, go print some shirts.
Right.
Doing stuff with Andrew is always such a like full circle moment of like, wow, like being in that kitchen with your mom and like, now your son, who is one of my dearest friends, is like wearing my clothes and like we're selling this stuff to people across the world. Like,
yeah,
that's pretty
cool. Yeah, that's the other thing is like, that's important to say is not only did bleach become very signature look and feel of how you build bikes, it also let you make clothing.
Yeah.
And when you did that, you didn't just do some off the shelf blank hoodie. You went and found the fabrics, you made a cut and sew pattern, you took all this time. And it was like, I mean, again, I say it all the time, the way you do one thing is the way you do everything. And I think bleach is a great example of that.
Yeah.
So I've watched you kind of take over the world would be ridiculous to say, but like I've watched you carve out a lane and make something very unique with bleach. And that alone could be like a merit and like another time where you could be like, this is what I do, but it's not that. And I've also seen this side of you. Like the reason I'm saying all of this is there's something that I really want to talk about here where you've established success with bleach and people know it. Then comes current and Livewire, and that is directly off of the success of Bleach. Mm-hmm. We talked about Woo, we talked about this bike. It's an incredible like representation of all of that.
For sure.
And then there's what comes after, where it's like, Bleach is still there, but there's now a very strong differentiation of Mikey and Bleach.
For sure.
And I think it's so beautiful. And in the beginning, I didn't understand it. I was like, bro, why? Like, you're good.
I remember you asking me, like, why are you, like, wanting to do other things?
And now I get it. Like, now I extra get it talking to you on this podcast, because it's like, how could you not? After all of these things that you've done, how could you not?
Yeah.
This little era lately, there's been this whole wave that is certainly not Bleach. It's like, it's Mikey tapping into something deeper. It's Mikey pushing to develop a conceptual apparel line for Woo. It's doing a Ralph Lauren campaign.
Yeah, that's cool.
Riding. Yeah. And because of what you've known.
<Good writing. laughs>
But like, it's in one sense, it's like, whoa, no way. But then in the other sense, it's like, well, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
It's that. It's Golden Goose. Yeah. It's doing something with Woo on a whole other level.
Yeah.
You directed a fucking Chainsmokers video. Yeah. I don't know the proper credit
me
to give
Lucas
you.
Me and Lucas and Matt, I mean, we did a lot. Like, that was like, I think, like, it's funny, like, going over the credits. Like, I think you were in the car.
We were in the car. They're like, so what do you want?
You were in the car with me and you're like, hey, you kind of did all this stuff. Like, and I was like, yeah, we did do all that stuff. Like, write it up. Like,
but then it's like, you've had capsules come out in collaboration with Deus, which is huge. You've done other collaborative capsules. You've done, should I say the car brand? I won't say.
I can say it. I mean, BMW, like, we're working on something.
Yep.
I support their brand no matter what.
Yep.
They gave me an opportunity for something cool.
Yep. So. But even that, like, it's like, you got a car from them. You did some dope stuff with that car.
Yeah.
You thought bigger, though. And I think that the reason that there's even a conversation of more is because, yet again, you thought bigger. This theme, this pattern, it's like, I don't know what the fuck to call you. I don't know.
I don't really know.
But I don't think that matters anymore. But I think the differentiation and all of us leading up to everything we're saying here is that, to me, is Mikey. That's the difference of Mikey and Bleach. And it's like, I'm watching you impact culture now. I'm watching you take all of what you've learned. I'm watching you lean into being the outsider and very humbly, like, being about your work. I guess we could also say that you and I have been working on a project with Puma. And
yeah, that was
another very well-known.
That was like one of those things that, like, you and I mean, even James, like, and I definitely want to touch base on me and James' relationship.
Yes, we need to.
But that was like one of those things where I'm like, why am I raising my hand?
Uh-huh.
Like,
uh-huh.
But I knew I needed to.
Yeah.
And you know, there was half of it was like, man, like, I feel like I'm in such a cool space right now that, like, I want to see, like, people win too. Like, I don't feel like I've won yet.
Yeah.
And
really?
And no, I really don't. I feel like I've been blessed and I'm so thankful, but I'm not there yet. There's so much more. And I don't say that in a, like, wait,
no,
watch
no, totally.
This. And just like, I there's more I want. And that's just in me.
Mm-hmm.
And those are things that I want to check boxes off for myself. And I'm excited to do. They're happy. Mm-hmm. Like, people say that sometimes, like, aggressively. And I say that, like, happy. Like, I can't wait for tomorrow. I can't wait for Monday. Mm-hmm. Also, like, I can't wait to see, like, you do that. I can't wait to see, like, James do that. And RS and Jacob and everyone that, like, really wants that for you. You find that in wanting that for them. And sometimes you need to even find that for people that don't want that for you.
Yeah. All of the reason that I'm saying that is not to just, like, sweet brag and be like, oh, you're so cool. It's being in this wave of friends supporting friends and pushing each other to think bigger and to embrace the discomfort and the wanting to think these crazy ideas and then support each other is where the magic happens. And that's where all the conversations we have are. And it's crazy because I wanted to spend whatever amount of time that was to explain all of your backstory so I could understand all of that. Because the Mikey that I see is like, you're sneaky about it. We always fuck with each other because you're always like so calm, cool, collective, casual, always fucking with me that I'm like this like super structured one. But like, you have it. And it's like, you always come through and do the work.
It's one.
And I think you set a really good example of that. And I think you do it so differently than I do. And that inspires me, right? Where does that mindset come from? How do you instill that in yourself every day?
I mean, for me, it's just, I find happiness in like achieving those things, you know, and the greatest happiness I find in achieving those things is like doing it in a fun way. Because like I could sit, you know, at my house or wherever I need to be and like make a sweatshirt or like make a design. But like, to me, it all means nothing if like, I don't have like people like you and James and everyone around that are like, it's not that I need the affirmation. It's just like, I want that community, you know? And like, what's our biggest joke that like, I'm the person that's here the most, but doesn't work here. and that's a product of that is like, you know, you need people. Like we're meant to be with people.
Yeah.
And you know, the second I lose sight or touch of people is the second I don't care. Like if I'm doing something, you know, behind closed doors, like I get the most motivated when I know I get to share it with someone. But if it was like something that I never would get to share, like it would be tough for me, and not in a way I need someone to like gas me up or I need like people to be like, whoa, that was dope. It's just like, I think everything like in our art, like when we're in our stage of like being like our creative self, like creativity is meant to be shared. I find like the most drive in like, and I think that's why like these projects, I like to like always strive for more, is just like, you know, this started off as a bike. And then I was like, we need to make clothes that go with it. And it's like, because I wanted to fulfill that like full look of like clothes meets bike. And that just like makes this person, which was Dr. Wu and this thing, like all this unity. And it brought us all together. Like, I don't think I would have worked with you or Max or Elliot would, you know, Elliot Evan, who helped me do this whole line.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have been in this community had we have not done apparel.
Yeah. Yeah. So, wow.
So that's like where like the beauty in doing and sometimes thinking larger is like, man, if we do this, but now we add this, we get to bring them along. James said something, or I think I might have said it earlier, is like, we're all stronger together.
Yep.
And James said that to me, and I'll never forget that, because it is so true. When you have the right people, we are all stronger together.
Yeah.
So it's like, when you dream big on these things, like, man, I can bring more homies. Like, I love everyone coming, you know? Like, I don't want to be there by myself.
Yeah.
None of us do.
Dude,
maybe some people, but
I don't know. I just think that like, that's such a beautiful mindset to have and to share, though.
Really, everything is that I've found success in is like surrounding yourself around the right people.
Really?
Yeah. And that's like where I've found, like, you know, business can always be good, but when you're not sharing it with the right people or you're not doing it the right thing, it's never fulfilling. You know, through one of my projects, and Jared DeAnda, like, is how I found this place.
Yeah.
And, you know, he brought me in to connect me with Snap-on, and that was a connection that was established. But he's like, you got to meet the guys who like do all the stuff for Snap-on. And I remember coming here, and I was in such a transition period of my life of like needing to be around people who were like going where I was going. You know, you are who you hang out with. And I was kind of lonely at that point, because I was like, I'd rather be lonely than with the wrong people.
Damn.
Because like, I'm just going to end up doing, I'm not going to go where I need to go.
Yeah.
I remember coming here and meeting James and going back home. I was living in OC still at the time. And I remember telling my friend, I was like, I think I just met my like new best friend. And it's so funny to say that, because like that like is very much how I felt, you know? Yeah. And I was like, he, like James and I very much understood each other like right off the bat, and you know, continue to like send some texts and support each other. And yeah, I mean, I'm so thankful for like, you know, James specifically, like, has taught me so much, like in these, I've been friends now for like a little over a year and a half, and you know, I know you can attest to this, like listening to your guys' podcast and like the role he plays in your life.
Yeah,
I think I wouldn't want to end this without like really like explaining that.
To add to all of that, it's like, I'm so glad you took the second to really lean into how important James specifically was. Like, I mean, that dude is one of those people that have forever changed my life.
Yeah.
So then to hear your relationship to him and how that comes together, it's like, then all of a sudden, this is a testament to race service and to the family.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
But like, there was a whole other life that you had, you know, I had my whole other life in music. You had your whole other life in motocross.
Yeah.
And then it's like, we kind of now are in this family. And it's, I think it was so important for me to learn that.
Yeah.
And now the way that we support each other as a family is so special. And I think that maybe we both feel that such a deep love to James, to Jacob, to Race Service, because
definitely
for the first time, and I'm understanding it now more, because I agree, it's the people. And it's like, we feel that. Like, we've had these careers, we've had this life.
For sure.
But we come back to this family and we're celebrating these wins and we're pushing each other. And it's like, my God, the shit that we get into every day, every week, and the amount of discomfort and growth we've had to go through, but we're all doing it with a smile and loving it.
Exactly.
And it's like, you are an addition to that. And we all inspire each other in different ways.
Yeah.
And I think it's so important on a very selfish level, outside of anyone else listening, for me to learn that backstory and to talk about it, because it's been so pivotal.
Yeah, definitely.
Part of me, I'm like, I feel like we did the thing. Yeah, and then the other part of me is like, we have had so many long ass conversations about the people we want to be and what inspires us and what we do when times get hard, that it's like, I don't know, maybe this is just the history of Mikey. And then now that it's been told, we come back when we're on one and we get into a specific topic. I don't know.
I think that, you know, we established, like, both of us feeling like we're in this transition period of, like, you know, Bleach isn't going away. I'm not done with bikes or anything, but, like, there's more. And, you know, let's check back in a year, 6 months. And I think we need to flip the roles too, because I think I need to dig into what you're all about.
I'm so fucking down. I'm so down.
Yeah, let's do it.
And I mean, I feel like too, it's like, I'll say this early just to manifest it. It's like the Race Service podcast studio coming together. It's like, we're here so much. Like, this is what I want. I want us to be inspired one night, and instead of sitting on the couches that are right there, just be like, fuck it, turn on the mics. Like, let's go talk.
Oh, for
and
sure.
Like, all these conversations, you know, like late night, like Jeff, any homies that rolled through, Max, like everybody. Like, I just want to share that. I love that we have shared so much positive in our lives together. It's like, I want to continue to do that. And maybe it's an impossible task to share that in one episode, but I'm certainly glad that we at least got to do this.
I know we made it, but thank you. Dude. Appreciate you. All the love.